And in Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki for the local news department. This is Campus Connection. It's our local call-in show, and we're going to talk about the agenda for tonight's school board meeting, and you're welcome to call in with a question or a comment. Our phone number here is 772-3808. I'm joined in the studio today by Superintendent Erica Klute-Painter, and also school board members Megan Lister and also Mara Lutomsky, newly reelected to the board of the school board. Congratulations. You're
Thanks.
Back on. And you have a full board to go forward for the next year, so that's exciting. And lots to talk about for tonight's agenda and school issues. It's a busy time of year, and we'll try to address all that's on the agenda today and any of your questions that you may have. And let's dive right in. The school board has been looking at a lot of policy changes. One of the ones that you're going to be talking about tonight is, I think it's a new policy language, and it has to do with memorials on the campus. Could one of the school board members talk a little bit about that and what's what the discussion has been like on that issue, Megan?
Sure. So we have, I think a couple years ago they started talking about this policy, and then this year, in the process of our policy committee meeting and talking about lots of policies, this one was one that came up again. And we have done a great deal of research. The committee has met numerous times, just looking at policies around the country and trying to come up with something that would be appropriate for our size and type of community that we have. And so we feel like we have some pretty good language in there. We've tried to get as much information and input as we can, and we're moving forward with that tonight. So this would be people's opportunity to look at that and give us any input if they would like to.
And this can cover anything from a plaque, a photo in the school, mm-hmm. But also a scholarship program or something like that that someone puts in place for someone who's departed. What else does it cover?
So we actually have two policies that we're working on that are related. One is the memorial policy, and the other is the naming policy. You know, a lot of districts have a naming policy when it comes to naming a building or something like that. So we're looking at two separate policies there, which are somewhat related. And then within the memorial policy, we have addressed, scholarships that are established in, you know, dedication to the memory of somebody or for any other kind of cause, but, you know, maybe after somebody has past, either current or, you know, somebody who was meaningful to the community. So there, it includes that, like you said, plaques, pictures, any of those kind of things. And it's a really tough thing to think about because it's thinking about something that's very uncomfortable, but we're trying to be proactive, you know, and make sure that we have something in place should one of those uncomfortable situations come up in the future. So,
and it looks like there's language in there that talks about the memorials are a temporary thing that have to be removed or given back to the family at some point. Is that right? Mara, you want to address that?
Yep. So there's been a lot of research done about memorials going into schools and whether it's appropriate to be there long-term or not. And so we have decided that there will be a two-week period of time where memorials can go up for the students or a teacher, maybe that someone within the district may have passed. And it really needs to be age appropriate, and it'll be under the direct supervision of the superintendent or their designee. And it's just important to know that the school is a place of education, and we need to be thinking about the current students and future students and how they may feel if something were to be placed long term.
And Erica, what else is in this policy, a memorial policy, that people should have a heads up on? Or
I think actually Mara and Megan have covered a lot of it. Like as they did mention, it has been researched quite a bit over the last couple of years, actually. Dr. Robb actually started this when he was here, and just trying to get lots of information out there. There are numerous policies around the state and around the country and really, lots of different places. We've done a lot of reading, a lot of research. We've done a lot of consultation with mental health professionals. We've tried to look at the culture of the community itself, which I think is really important because it is. And I think you have to acknowledge some of those kinds of things. I think we're also trying to make decisions that are hard and also make decisions when we're not in the middle of, thank goodness, a terrible crisis now or experiencing a death right now. I think that's the time to do something like this when we're not terribly emotionally involved. Mm-hmm. So that was something that I got out of this process and in all the reading that we've done, that it's recommended to do this when you're not in the middle of a crisis. So we've tried to be as objective and sensitive to the topic because it is a very personal topic. And this is a community that does value its history that way. And so, and that's in the community itself. I mean, there are lots of different things around town that are named. There are lots of things in the community. People do value that. And so we want to respect those things as much as possible as well, but also acknowledge that there is a large body of research out there about the possible impacts of things within a closed environment setting in a school, which it is a closed environment of sorts. You know, kids come to school, they're there with us all day, and that's their, they don't necessarily have a choice what they see on on the walls, you know, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. So especially being very considerate of those kinds of things in classroom settings. So that's been a lot of research.
Okay. Yeah, and just keeping on the forefront the goal of education for students. So
it also has language in there about what will be recognized in terms of loss of death of a student or a suicide and whether the mm-hmm. district shuts down or not. And it says it doesn't, and the classes continue and so right. That's covered in this policy as well.
It's important, and I think actually the whole topic of suicide, again, is a very, very difficult topic. It actually is Suicide Awareness Month right now, which was not, and Bullying Prevention Month, and all those kinds of things just sort of seem to happen right now at this time. But it is an issue in this state, and mm-hmm. thank goodness it's not, and has not been a huge issue recently in our community, but it is a huge issue in our state, and we are really at the top of the list for experiencing high suicide rates in our state. So that itself had, you know, really needs to have its own section addressing it, but we were also trying not to stigmatize it. Like, you don't want to not acknowledge a death by suicide, but it needs to be treated even more carefully in some ways because there's a lot of research about what can trigger something in students or even other staff or even other community members for that matter. So
mm-hmm.
it's been...
And that topic kind of made me think about the crisis aspect of it, and we're actually we have the crisis committee is meeting later this week, so that's nice timing as well for us to just mm-hmm. keep that process in our minds, and especially in a time where things are calm, so that we can have a nice plan in place and we know we can respond in a way that will support students and the community should something awful happen.
And I think the other thing that I got out of this too, just one last comment, is just I think the idea that sometimes things are done with unintended consequences at times when people are feeling when it is a very difficult time, and especially in a small community where many, many people are affected by things. So there's a lot of research about that. In fact, the naming policy really addresses that, where they talk about you don't want to make a decision about something like that for even 3 years is what a lot of the policies mm-hmm. recommend, because you are in such a state, you want to do something, you know, people really want to do something right away. And we understand that. I've experienced loss in my own life and my own family. And so, you know, you kind of have that urge to do that. But we have to exercise caution.
And that policy sets up a process where someone would write a letter to the school district. It goes to the superintendent, and eventually it goes to the school board for that final decision mm-hmm. about naming something, whether it's a school or the auditorium or mm-hmm. any other facility, right?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Both those policies, I think, are they in first reading tonight? Or
yes.
Are first of two?
Yep.
There's a bunch of policies that are in second and final reading, and those are a lot of wording updates, is that right? That mm-hmm. you go through, it's a normal process on those. Any big changes to highlight in any of those, Erica? Or?
I don't think so. I think there's one that it's actually fairly new to our district. It's something that just went through regulation this last year by the legislature, this kind of idea of being able to potentially challenge a course in 9th through 12th grade in high school. And so that's relatively new. And then we updated some of the requirements for high school graduation. They constantly are tweaked a little bit, so we just made sure that those are all accurate and reflect what's currently in the high school handbook, and they are. But other than that, I think they were mostly editorial and...
A lot of editorial, and something I didn't realize before I became a member of the school board when it comes to policies and that type of thing, I kind of thought, you know, maybe we just, the school got together and just wrote whatever policy they wanted to. And in this case, we get a lot of support from the Alaska Association of School Boards. And so all of that, the big list of policies that you see in the agenda are all policies that we've had recommendation from that association. So what we're doing is very consistent with the whole state.
Mm-hmm. They look at all the other policies that other districts have and kind of tweak everyone together, get everyone on the same page.
Yeah, and they, I think they have an attorney that
they do.
Reviews it to make
They're
sure that
reviewed.
Everything is, you know, in line legally. So that is a nice benefit to us that we don't have to just create out of thin air every policy.
Yeah. It's a lot of work.
772-3808 is our phone number. Call in if you have a question or a comment. We're going to move on to other topics on the agenda for tonight. One is a school calendar change, and this is something that will parents and students will see next February and March. What's different about this, and why did this change come about? Who wants to take that, Mara or Erica?
I can talk about
okay.
it.
Sure.
So the 2A regional basketball tournament will be held during what was currently on the schedule as conference time. And because that pulls a lot of our students, it pulls a lot of our staff, it pulls a lot of our parents that wanting to go to support the basketball tournament, we decided as a board that it would be in the better interest to have conferences at separate times and not conflict during those times. So the middle school and the high school will be held on February 10th and February 11th, and those will be after school hours. And then there will be no school for them on February 12th. And the elementary will be on an early out on March 3rd, and then no school on March 4th. And so then they will run over those 2 days.
Okay.
Spring break, of course, is the following, is March 14th to March 18th.
Okay. And that's when the tournament happens anyway. Okay.
It happens Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right before spring break.
Okay. All right. And that decision's already been made. This is more just informational to get the word out about that change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You'll also be electing officers for the board itself. And I guess this is something you do every year, choose the president and vice president. And any big power struggles going on in the school board right now?
Yeah. No, actually, I think we're a pretty good group of practical thinkers.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's going to be a big mix-up.
No, and the discussion of officers and committees is something we are able to discuss, you know, amongst ourselves, I think, without having to necessarily schedule open meetings. So I think we feel pretty comfortable that things will continue along probably and run very smoothly.
People are comfortable in their roles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's good to have a little bit of time in a role so you can learn and get good at it, too, I think.
So. Okay.
I think so, too.
Erica, you'll be reporting a little bit on Alaska Measures of Progress. This is the state's new testing tool, and this is this already in place? I can't remember.
It is. Okay. Yep. Last spring was the first time that all Alaska students, 3rd through 10th grade, took this. It is the computerized version of the test. It went really well here in our district as far as technologically and even just in general with scheduling. The kids did a great job with it, and staff worked really hard to make sure that it was going to go off, you know, well, and it did. I've actually been in two or three different webinars recently, in fact, one just this morning, again, about how the release of the data is going to come out. It is a huge undertaking because it is new, and so, you know, we still don't have the results. We don't have the results yet either. They're coming this week.
And the state just came out with how it was going to interpret the results.
They
right?
did. Okay. Yep. They had the State Board of Education met on Friday. That's another 2-hour webinar that I listened to on Friday. It was very exciting. Yeah. Friday afternoon. Super exciting. But anyway, but they did discuss, and there actually was, I shouldn't be like that, but there was actually a lot of feedback from around the state about the cut scores, which we had a teacher from Petersburg who helped set the math cut scores this summer, Tommy Thompson from the high school, and there were over 250 teachers that they had working on that this summer, so that's, I think that's important for people to know that teachers were involved. There's been some controversy over the test results, I would say, because of the number of questions that have been asked on different standards, they're not really statistically able to drill down to specific standards that teachers need to focus on more or that students might be struggling with because of the design of the test itself doesn't drill down that far. That was a little concerning to superintendents. We met a few weeks ago about that, and we thought, oh, you can't really use these for specific instructional improving your instruction because it doesn't really drill down that far. So that was a little concerning to us, and that was somewhat new. So there was some feedback about that to the state board on Friday. The response to that is that there's going to be additional, they're called testlets, that will have other tasks for teachers to be able to use with kids that will drill down a little further. They can use them a little more on their own schedule. So we'll see how those go. Bridget Whitstock has done a huge amount of work with this AMP testing. It is a ton of time. Being the district test coordinator, I applaud her and am grateful for all that she does. It's a huge job. So anyway, those test scores are coming out the end of October. Parents will be getting those. We're going to keep going with the information for people, keep reminding people that these are new tests over the new standards. They are not to be compared with the old tests that we did, you know, a year and a half ago, the SBAs. We can't compare apples and oranges. Our students are not losing intelligence. I want to say that because some of the scores are going to be possibly a little shocking for parents.
Mm-hmm. Because the state's basically going to come back and say your child or this grade is not proficient.
Changed the language of that. They've talked about meeting the standard or partially meeting the standard, which seems a little bit like splitting hairs to me. But I understand what they're saying too. I think they're trying to say that they're, you know, it's not that your kids aren't flat out, you know, aren't proficient, but you might have kids may have a better or less grasp of the standards themselves is kind of how they're explaining it to us, which makes sense, but it's going to look different to parents. So we're trying to get that word out there, trying to reassure them that this is one measure. It is one piece of information. It is not the deciding factor of how their child is doing in school. And we just want to remind people of that. So,
And it is brand new, so...
Brand new, new standards.
Will this be useful a couple years down the road?
We're hopeful. That's what I'm going to keep... I'm going to stay on track with that, okay. And we're going to keep hoping that that's the goal, is that, you know, of course, kids will continue to improve because the standards will be taught more and more and more. Each year, the kids will have more exposure, and they'll gain more proficiency, and the kids will improve. And I believe they will. Our kids... We have smart kids and great teachers and, you know, supportive parents. So.
And hopefully they won't change the testing tool in another couple of years.
Yes,
or something.
So there's that.
That's always
exactly. Exactly.
No. School board members, any thoughts on that testing tool?
It's nice to have tools in the bucket, you know. I have full confidence in our teachers that they're able to distinguish between the kids that need the extra help and, you know, where they're at, but it's nice for them to have a tool to also give them some input as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I found it really interesting last winter to hear from other school districts about the AMP testing, and reservations about even being able to do the test. Can their schools even support the technology required? And so I feel like we've done a really fantastic job of being, you know, Bridget's work and as well as John Painter's work to get us online and doing these without much of a hiccup at all. So
yeah, there really weren't any major technological glitches, which was different than many districts. So
their ability to even take the test. So I feel pretty confident that it'll work out and be a decent tool in the future.
Okay, good. All right, what else from tonight's agenda should we give people a heads up on or near-term scheduling? This is a busy time at the schools and a big weekend coming up for activities here in the high schools. Swimming and volleyball all will be here and like something like 150 kids in town visiting.
Yeah, there is a volleyball tournament going on and there will be at least six other cities with volleyball teams here in town. That kicks off Friday, 3 p.m., and then it runs through Saturday at 8:30 p.m. And big thank you to all of the families that are housing and all of the volunteers that are helping, you know, put together that tournament. Swimming is also going to be happening as well. That'll start on Friday at 6 p.m., and then it'll start again at 11 p.m. on Saturday. So we'll have some good competition and get out and watch and support the Vikings.
And senior appreciation in both those. I think volleyball is Saturday nights after the final game, and I think swimming is Friday night?
Friday night, I think after event 8.
Okay.
I think they've got it down to that specific, you know, so people know. And just one senior for swimmers, but several for volleyball. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right, so lots of kids in town this weekend, and those are the last home events for those two sports, so your last chance to get out and see those. What else is coming up near-term for the school district, scheduling-wise?
Well, we're heading into, as far as activities, wrestling has launched officially. And
yep, they'll be in Wrangell this weekend.
That's right, they're traveling. There's a World History field trip going over to Wrangell tomorrow. They're looking forward to that, Mr. Engel.
In the elementary schools, I know that original artworks are out right now, so your child should have brought home some artwork, and you're invited to order a piece if you'd like to keep that for yourself.
Fundraiser.
And I know that PIE is also looking for new membership. Come out and do some volunteering. And they are also going to be electing their officers for their positions to head up.
There's lots of opportunity for food this weekend, too. I should say that out loud. The band parents are doing some fundraising for their big trip to California, the music festival there. So lots of food available during all the activities this weekend if you're looking for a good place to eat in addition to entertainment. Mm-hmm. There's lots of food. And then I also think there's a group of basketball kids that are going to an AAU trip.
Chicken barbecue dinner,
yep.
I think,
so
Saturday
there's more,
night.
Even more food. So lots of food. That's always good.
It is.
Food is very good, and it's a great way to get out and support our school and all those kiddos.
Yep, it'll be fun.
Okay, yes. A couple days off at the end of the month, too, for staff in service, it looks like.
29th
and 30th.
Put a little plug out there for that, too, and actually the board has this on their agenda, but the speaking of the Alaska Association of School Boards, they're coming to do a work session with staff during those in-service days, and then also with the board and community on results from the survey that's given to 5th through 12th grade students. Has to do with their attitudes about school, their relationship with people at school, their attitudes about how things are going, and it's always a good presentation, and they really do appreciate having input from parents and community members about those results, and it helps drive what the board wants to do as far as their goals. So.
Right, and another nice opportunity for people in the community and parents to just give us their input. Of course, they're always welcome to chat with us or call us if they, you know, want to get in touch with us outside of those times, but it kind of gives some structure to that for people who want to talk to us about what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the board goes in November for a conference and some training. So
that's right.
Yeah. Lots going on. Busy fall.
Sounds like it. Well, thank you very much for coming in, the three of you. You can hear more from the school board tonight. That's at 7 o'clock. It's in Borough Assembly Chambers. We'll be broadcast live on KFSK. Coming up next, Street Beat Music with Ross Nanook III.